The only thing I knew about El Paso was driving through on I-10 when I was on my way to New Orleans or something. I actually wrote a book called Reinventing Jesus Christ that was online for 7 years that has a lot of information that would be helpful. It's going to be coming out as a book. It was a kind of a workbook-sized thing before. And it should be out in about a month or two, and it's called False Christ Coming, Does Anybody Care? And we'll hope to maybe get that back online, too. First Corinthians 14:8 says, if the trumpet gives an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself for battle? I think that's what's going on in the church today. Nobody's really talking about what's going on. I just gave you my testimony. My wife and I, by the way, we quickly understood as soon as we got saved that we don't keep living together. She either moves out or we get married. We got married like within 10 days. And we would start going to churches and it would be like this. A really sweet little old lady would come up and say, oh, Mr. Smith, you know, you're new here. Are you saved? I say, yeah. How long have you been saved? Oh, you know, about 30 days. Oh, how did you get saved? Well, there were these evil spirits, and we called on the Lord, and it's spiritual warfare. Oh, Mr. Smith, the coffee and the donuts are right over there. And we would go church to church to church, and we were going, this is crazy. It's like it seems like we almost know more about the battle than people that are in the churches. And that we didn't say that out of pride. It was just the reality of our life. We finally went to this one church one day, and there was a visiting pastor, and he asked the usual questions. He said, so, you know, you're saved, and how long have you been saved? How did you get saved? And I told him, sort of expecting the usual, and he said, yeah, he says, I could tell you some stories. And it was like, oh, he understands. It was like, it was so important to my wife and I to know that somebody in the church understood, because so many of the churches that we were going to just didn't understand. And even the Calvary Chapel that we went to, there was sort of an annoyance at having to even talk about this subject. And I think as new believers coming out of what we did, you know, we probably had it a little bit more on our brain than we really would want in the long run. But that's part of it. I'm sure Charlie's dealt with people that are new believers and you've come out of a cult or something like that. You need some kind of affirmation. Yeah, this is real and this is what the scripture talks about. So anyway, there's a million things to talk about, but I'm just going to read a few quotes. These are from New Age sources, and it'll give you a feel for where they think this is going. And meanwhile, we've got men calling themselves Christian leaders who are agreeing with these people and who are taking the church. And I'll just name one or two of them, but they're people that, you know, are speaking to leadership groups and different denominations, calling themselves Christians and outing some of these same ideas. Marianne Williamson, the one who wrote the book on A Course in Miracles, has become one of Oprah's favorites. She was the one that put the course on the radio. She said, there's a new peace movement emerging today. Notice the word emerging. Because what's emerging is a false Christ and a false new worldview, a new spirituality. Emerging means to arise. If you look it up in the dictionary, it means to arise. When you look in Revelation 13, it talks about the beast that rises up from the sea. There's a lot of mockery that's going on in a lot of these teachings. For instance, in the Course in Miracles, the Jesus of the Course in Miracles was asked a question. And he said, well, there are many roads to God. No, there are many paths to God, and their names are legion. Mockery. Just flat-out mockery. There's a new peace movement emerging today among those who realize that our spiritual powers afford us tremendous opportunity to transform the world. We can imagine the world we want. We can become the people from whom that world would flow forth. And we can join with others in making it happen. There are millions among us who understand we are one. I want to say something about oneness. We're told in Acts 17:26 that we're all one blood. I mean, if you think about it, I mean, correct me, but we're from an original set of parents. We're all related in that respect. In that respect, we are connected to our fellow man, and we obviously are to love and care for our fellow man. But what is born of the flesh is flesh. What's born of the spirit is spirit. Galatians 3:26, 28, Paul, in addressing the Galatians, said that ye are all one in Christ Jesus. It's not Christ Jesus in every one. A friend of mine put it this way. He said, you can be in a house but the house isn't in you. And that was kind of an interesting differentiation that was made, because some of these New Age teachers are saying, well, it says that God's the all in all and that everything's in God. And didn't it say ye are gods? And these little out of context scriptures that are sent out to confuse everybody. But it's very clear. I've got a whole list, and I'll let Charlie copy it. But the scriptures that I came up with, where it's clear, man is not God. It says in Isaiah, the Egyptians are men and not God. Hosea 11:9, it says, I am God and not man. The one that I think is really telltale is John 2:24-25, when Jesus said that he did not commit himself to men because he knew what was in man. Now, if he knew that God was in man, and that's the secret teaching that has been suppressed by the church, then why didn't he say that? He knows what's in man, and we're all dangerous. The old man can always jump out at any time. We can be susceptible to false teachings. As we create deeper peace among any of us anywhere, the reality of peace becomes more probable everywhere. There is a resolution in Congress that's active right now for a peace department that would be cabinet level, and has been pushed by Marianne Williamson, and this whole peace department would be founded on the principles of A Course in Miracles. And it's gotten the endorsement of a number of congressmen. Now, some of them might not be around next session, I don't know. But there's a tremendous move to push peace, both politically, and what the New Age says is that spirituality needs to enter politics, because we need spiritual principle to help the world achieve peace. And that spiritual principle is we are all one because God is in everyone and everything. They actually, I'm not trying to scare you, this is just reality. The New Age, a woman by the name of Barbara Marx Hubbard, claims to have heard from Christ. She's on speaking terms with Gorbachev. She actually was nominated for vice president in 1984 at the Democratic National Convention. She's not some fringe New Ager. She's coming on strong now. She recently spoke at Haverford College in Pennsylvania. She's making the tour. She said that Christ told her that those who refuse to believe in oneness will be driven from the face of the earth, that there will be a process called the selection process that will take them out. Now, if you refuse to believe that you're God and that you're one in spirit because you're God and you're Christ, if that actually comes to play in the future, you, we, us will be standing against this very thing that was warned about in Scripture. And that's why Jesus told us about these things ahead of time, so we wouldn't get surprised. And when I read Johanna's quoting of Scripture after Scripture, a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Or how about with the shack? 2 Peter 1:16, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables or tales in telling you about the coming of the Lord. Do you know what the message says for that paraphrase? By the way, Eugene Peterson, author of the message, endorsed the shack. He was at the top of the book. Does he talk about cunningly devised fables or tales? No, he says, don't go wishing upon a star. He just let the air out of all the tires. That's what that book does. It lets the air out of the tires. You know what as above, Greg mentioned, as above, so below, in the middle of the Lord's Prayer. As above, so below is the name of a book written by the editors of the New Age Journal. And they define as above, so below is that God is not only transcendent out there, he is immanent in everyone and everything. I actually made this statement similar to what Greg did about the message and about Eugene Peterson. And a professor from a well-known Christian college took issue with me, and he says, I don't think you should be talking about Eugene Peterson like that. I said, listen, I didn't say that Eugene Peterson did that purposely or to deceive people, but I said, do you think that was the Holy Spirit that led him to put as above, so below in the middle of the Lord's Prayer? And he just was real quiet, because the Holy Spirit obviously didn't. Holy Spirit knows that as above, so below is the key to all magic, all mysteries. It's been around for several thousand years, and it is the linchpin saying of the New Age. I knew it. I recognized it right away when I saw it in the Lord's Prayer. I went, what is he doing? But what happens is a lot of these men and women that are doing these very deceiving teachings, they establish a reputation through good books. They write You know, Rick Warren's main apologist had written a number of really good books on cults and stuff. But then when it really came time to really stand up, they fold and they come and they turn on those of us that are trying to expose what really needs to be exposed. What's happened is that people in the church are looking at these books as isolated, you know, like, oh, the shack, or oh, the prayer of Jabez, or whatever. It all ties together and creates this new picture. Have you ever seen those pictures where you're looking, for instance, at an inverted chalice? There's two chalices, and somebody tells you there's actually two faces there. Do you see it? And you go, no, I just see two chalices. Oh, there it is. You just saw the new paradigm. You just shifted into your new awareness. Nobody could describe it to you. You had to see it for yourself. This is what the church is being told. This is what the world is being told. You have to awaken to who you really are, to the God and the Christ that is in everyone and everything. And when you get that, they say, everything will change because you'll have this new worldview. That is why knowing the truth of our spiritual oneness and embracing it within our hearts is the ultimate answer to all the problems of the world. At the level of spiritual reality, none of us are separate. So, are you into oneness or separation? Are you into peace, oneness, and happiness? Or are you into separation, fear, and hatred? Well, the way that the world defines it, the way the devil's defining it, we're in the latter camp. It's hateful to say that there's only one way. When people ask me, are you saying there's only one way? My answer is, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Deal with Jesus on that. That's not my opinion. You have to figure that one out for yourself. Marianne Williamson said, 20 years ago, I saw the guidance of the Course as the key to changing one's personal life. Today, I see its guidance as key to changing the world. More than anything else, I see how deeply the two are connected. What I thought was particularly interesting in this particular case, do you remember Oprah said 20 years ago when she had Marianne Williamson on the show that she saw it as a philosophy that could change the world? Now, Williamson 20 years later is saying, now I see that it could change the world. These guys have had this agenda for a long time. Lee Strobel has written a number of good books on apologetics, but he also came out of the bowels of Saddleback Church, and he's been at Willow Creek. And he wrote a book called The Real Jesus. And he never hardly even addressed the things that we're talking about. And he quoted a journalist as saying, Oprah has been involved in so many different things, she doesn't know what she believes. That is absolutely untrue. Oprah knows exactly what she believes, just as I did when I was in the New Age. She has an agenda. She's going to save the world. That's her role. She's playing the role perfectly. And I think we all should pray for her. Pray that she doesn't receive any more spiritual support from the other side. I mean, if Oprah got it, she would be off the air within 24 hours. They would not want her to spread that. The Apostle Paul was an amazing, you know, conversion. God saved my wife and I. You would not have enjoyed our teachings when we were in the New Age. When I was in the New Age, I was a social worker. I went to a client's mother's house. I worked with developmentally disabled, really godly woman in her probably mid-70s, maybe even 80. She sat down on the couch with me and she said, Warren, do you love the Lord? And I said, oh, yeah. She said, tell me about him. So I told her all about the Course of Miracles and Jesus and all the New Age stuff. And she just kind of looked at me like, oh, my goodness. She said, excuse me just a second. And she went off in the other room and came back with this huge, big, blue King James Bible and said, would you please take this? And I looked at it and I thought to myself, the color of that Bible matches my Course in Miracles books perfectly. So, yeah, sure, I'll take it. But you know what? That was the Lord. Because when we were on the cusp of getting saved, that was the Bible that really was in our house. And that was the Bible that I used. And Greg was mentioning the whole thing about Bibles and King James and all that. People will ask me, to say, are you a King James only? And my response is real simple. I say, I've only used the King James. I never had any reason to not use it. The King James is so accurate in all the things that we went through and in everything. So that's what I would say. You can't lose with a King James Bible. And then you have to kind of work the rest of it out if you're using other Bibles, you know, with the Lord and your pastor and everyone else. Anybody know who Wayne Dyer is? Wayne Dyer has been on public broadcasting through the years. He's kind of like the psychologist slash preacher. They play him all the time. They claim that they're not into religion, but he's always outing his New Age teachings. After September 11th, Wayne Dyer came on, and he said the following. And this was broadcast. I was in New Orleans at the time. It was broadcast, I think, about 10 or 12 hours a day for the better part of 2 weeks. He said, you know, I've been studying something for several years. The thing I've been studying is called A Course in Miracles. And A Course in Miracles is a very interesting collection of brilliant writing that I think if the world were living by it, perhaps we would have far, far fewer of the conflicts and struggles and so on that we have amongst ourselves and amongst nations and our families. A Course in Miracles is like the New Age Bible. And it's happening. Chicken Soup for the Soul. Is anybody, you're familiar with that book? The author, the co-author of that book, Jack Canfield, is a New Age leader. I remember being in a New Age leadership group years ago, and it was back in the early 80s, and somebody came and said, hey, we got somebody in education, Jack Canfield. If you look at the Chicken Soup for the Soul book, page 69 is a story called The Golden Buddha. It was written by Jack Canfield. He says that there is a Christ essence in every person. There it is again. Oprah Winfrey, I hate to keep beating on her, but Oprah Winfrey recommended a book back in 1987 called Discover the Power Within You by Eric Butterworth. Eric Butterworth was a New Age teacher in New York City. His book that she's recommending talks about the divinity of man over 100 times. Eric Butterworth is the first story in the Chicken Soup for the Soul series. Now, if you read that story, you're going to say, well, Warren, but I've read this story. It talks about the creative force of love. There's nothing in that story that seems New Age. No, they're clever. They honed it down. And if you liked it, you'll go. And Eric Butterworth, I just told you, his book is loaded with the divinity of man. He's got a story in there where he says, look in a mirror and salute the God that you're looking at. Namaskar. Or like you've seen maybe the Hollywood stars, they go like this when they're accepting an award. That's namaste. The God in me salutes the God in you. I mean, it all sounds kind of nice, but it just doesn't happen to be true. The opening quote to Chicken Soup for the Soul. Chicken Soup for the Soul. Rekindling Your Relationship is a subtitle, Rekindling. The opening quote is by Jesuit priest Pierre Teilhard de Chardin. He's the father of the New Age movement. He says that God is in every atom. He's quoted by New Agers all over the place. He says that, you know, they were entering a new age. He's deceased now. He says that we're entering a new age, and there's a universal Christ that we're moving toward and forward. The phrase that Chardin uses over and over again is moving forward. Have you heard that phrase a few times lately, including Obama's speech the other night? Over and over. Moving forward. Is there something wrong with that, Warren? Is it wrong to say moving forward? No. But be aware that that's a catchphrase for Chardin, and it's been around a lot longer. It's really risen up, particularly in the last year or so, I've noticed. That's part of the underlying language that's coming in all over the place, with undiscerning church leaders not making the differentiation. So we have this peace movement. I remembered a Bob Dylan gospel song back in 1983. He had a song and he said, he's a great humanitarian, he's a great philanthropist, he knows just where to touch you, honey, and how you like to be kissed. He'll put both his arms around you. You can feel the tender touch of the beast. You know that sometimes Satan comes as a man of peace. That's exactly what's going on today. M. Scott Peck, in his book, The Road Less Traveled, God is in everyone. We have a Christian, so-called evangelical Christian leader by the name of Leonard Sweet, who says that M. Scott Peck, Matthew Fox, and Willis Harmon, three key New Age figures that I know well, he says they are his role models and his heroes. He commends them. He cites David Spangler, the shaman of the New Age, for helping him with his new cell theory. Leonard Sweet has a book called Quantum Spirituality. Teilhard de Chardin said that God is in every atom. Are you seeing the connections here? Chardin's at the beginning of Chicken Soup for the Soul. Who could be against Chicken Soup for the Soul? I mean, it's like it's like mom and apple pie. I mean, they're just stories, Warren. No, it's carefully contrived. You've got Butterworth as the first story. You've got the New Age leader Canfield, who's got his book in a Christian... I've seen his book in Christian bookstores. I mean, this thing's really, really moving fast. What is Leonard Sweet? Okay, Leonard Sweet... I talked to a friend who's a doctor in Louisiana, He said that the Anglican annual meeting of his church, the Anglican church meeting that's coming up, Leonard Sweet is one of the keynote speakers with Kay Warren. Okay? Leonard Sweet has been speaking to the Nazarene church. He's been to the Evangelical Friends. He's making the rounds, not of like Saturday afternoons, and not to diminish anything that we're doing here, but he's not speaking to a Calvary chapel in El Paso. He's talking to leadership of different denominations. And what does Leonard Sweet say about Pierre Teilhard de Chardin? He says that he, Chardin, is 20th century Christianity's major voice. Sorry, that is not true. I came up with this term. I'm sure somebody's used it before, but to me, Sweet is a wolf in wolf's clothing. He's so obvious. He's endorsing New Age people. He's lauding Pierre Teilhard de Chardin, who is the father of the New Age movement. And yet the church just sits back while all this is happening. Robert Schuller had Gerald Jampolsky, the man that I mentioned who wrote that little book on the Course in Miracles that got me involved in the Course in Miracles. Robert Schuller had Gerald Jampolsky on his Hour of Power program in 2004. Schuller commended all of Jampolsky's books about the Course in Miracles. Schuller had Course in Miracles groups being taught on his Crystal Cathedral campus at the same time that people like Rick Warren were coming in to learn how to have a big church. I mean, do you see how crazy this is? So, as above, so below. God in everything. I mean, we're told in 2 Corinthians 11:3, Paul's concerned that the church is going to be deceived by the serpent, just as Eve was. And he says that there's a simplicity in Christ. What you need to understand is that there's a simplicity in the deception. You don't have to know all these. You know, I think it's helpful if you get our books and you read the details. I think it really helps to beef up. But you don't have to know all these names. You don't have to, who's Chardin? All you need to know is that the new worldview that's being outed is being outed in the name of we are all God. I told a friend of mine who is, I guess he really can't be classified as a believer. He's a great guy, but he's not there yet. And he has a sister who's in the New Age. And I said, ask your sister if she's God. He said, oh, come on, you know, she's not going to. I said, ask her. Next time I saw him, he goes, whoa. You know, she said, yeah. And I said, that's it. I mean, we didn't think that we were the God, but that we're all collectively God. Okay, now, so how is this going to work? I mean, so what do they do with all this? Okay, how do you achieve world peace? You get everybody, it's almost like a computer, you get everybody online. Everybody connected. Have you heard that word a little bit lately? Connected, connected, connected. Are you connected? Are you connected? Connected to what? The harlot or to the body of Christ? There's a difference. If we're all connected and if we're all God, then we can create the future that we want. Right? Wrong. But this is the predominant view. This is what we believe in the New Age. We can create our own reality because if we all join together, we can change the rules. We can make new rules. We can get rid of divisive doctrines because we're all God. But what gets in the way of that? Those who refuse to believe in their own divinity, that are into separation and hatred and fear. So the selection process will take care of that. Maitreya was mentioned. I was stunned when I did my book that Reinventing Jesus Christ that's going to be coming out under this different title. I was stunned when I saw that Maitreya's teachings on this were the same as the Course in Miracles, were the same as Neil Donald Walsh's Conversations with God, another one that Oprah has hailed and lauded. They're all, and Barbara Marks Hubbard, they're all saying the same bottom line. You can be a Hindu, you can be a yoga teacher, you can do the Ouija board. It doesn't matter what you do, as long as you get it, that you're connected, that you're God, that you're Christ, you create your own reality, and you hold hands with everyone else in imagining, remember the John Lennon song, imagine there's no hell below us, no heaven above, imagining the future that you want. You imagine the future that you want. And what did Isaiah say with the Lord speaking through him? Behold, they gather together, but not by me. They associate themselves. The one that I really like is, I think it's in the 50s in Isaiah, and it says something like, behold, you that kindle a fire, if you make that fire with your own sparks, you're going to lie down in sorrow. The subtitle of the Chicken Soup for the Soul book is Rekindling. Page 69, it says that your God, you know, I mean, it's unbelievable. How about this one? 2 Corinthians 4:4. Paul makes it clear that Satan is the god of this world. And then he gives the immediate answer to that in verse 5. He says, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. I don't think you can find the word Lord or Savior in the message. It's the Master Jesus. Eugene Peterson continually calls him the Master Jesus. What does Maitreya, his main spokesperson, Benjamin Krim, say? He says that when the Christ appears, and not Jesus Christ, the Christ being Maitreya, he will appear with his masters of wisdom, one of whom will be the Master Jesus. In Scripture, it says that when Jesus comes, his angels come with him. This is a counterfeit. He brings judgment with him. I mean, it's all being set up. There's a counterfeit. And that word counterfeit, I heard a lot when I came across the line back in 1984. You don't hear counterfeit hardly anymore. You know, it's almost like, calm down. Who did you hear speak on Saturday? Don't you? Wasn't there a good football game on or something? You have something better to do? I mean, that's just negative. If there's any pastors here, besides Charlie and his group here, I just challenge you to look deeply into those scriptures and be bold enough to stand on the word of God and to warn your people about all these things that are coming at them. It's real. And God will honor that. You know, you might not have the biggest church in town, but you'll have a powerful church because the Holy Spirit will be there. You cannot neglect these things. You cannot shun to declare all the counsel of God. What these guys are doing, they're picking and choosing. I actually got... Here's a quote from Leonard Sweet. You do need to remember this man's name because he is one of the foremost false teachers that are out there. He does stuff like this. In his book, Aqua Church, he quotes a hymn. He says, Jesus, Savior, pilot me over life's tempestuous sea. Unknown waves before me roll, hiding rock and treacherous shoal. Chart and compass come from thee. Jesus, Savior, pilot me. Well, excuse me, have you got a problem with that, Warren? I mean, no, I don't. But what he says one paragraph later, he quotes Teilhard de Chardin. And he says, remember, according to Sweet, Chardin is 20th century Christianity's major voice. Listen to what Chardin says, and this is where the New Age is at. This is where the church is going to be at if it keeps going the way that it is. Chardin says, Christ is in the church in the same way as the sun is before our eyes. We see the same sun as our fathers saw, and yet we understand it in a much more magnificent way. Wow. More than the martyrs. I mean, he just dissed all the people that have stood for their faith. And this is so typical of the emerging church leadership, where nobody helped the homeless or did anything before these guys came along. That's not to disparage their good works, but they're tossing the Bible out the back door and telling you to have a spiritual experience. So how are they going to see it in a much more magnificent way? Well, let me just read a quote that goes to what I just said about the emerging church. Shane Claiborne gets a lot of credit. He's living in North Philadelphia with homeless people. He went to work with Mother Teresa. He was in Iraq doing peace activism. Gosh, this guy's really, you know, he's all over the place and everything else. Well, here's what he says about the Bible. I don't know if you've read the Bible. He's saying this to the reader. I don't know if you've read the Bible. And if you haven't, I think you may be in a better place than those of us who have read it so much that it's become stale. I'm here to testify that Bible was more alive than any morning newspaper. When we came out of the New Age, it was like there was smoke coming out of the Bible. It was like everything that we'd been involved in was just x-rayed and just put up against the wall. It was unbelievable. Never once when we called on the Lord did the spiritual warfare coming at us ever, you know, stick around. I mean, it had to leave. It may have come back a half hour later, but we called on the Lord again. But this is all becoming kind of like, well, that's kind of like the old Christianity. We need this new Christianity that we see in a much more magnificent way. Well, how does that work? How does that work? Well, let's go back to Leonard Sweet's book back in 1991, Quantum Spirituality. He and others are suggesting that the new science and the new physics, quantum physics, which includes the new math, which has references to things like fractals. Okay, you don't need to remember that, but guess what? I was doing a conference in Southern California, and I had talked about the shack, and this woman came up and she said, Warren, I've written a little article on the shack. Could you take a look at it sometime? I said, sure. Like about a week later, it sort of fell out of my backpack, and it was called Fractal Theory in the Shack. I missed it. The word fractal is at least 3 or 4 times in the shack, and it talks about subatomic particles, the quantum stuff, quantum physics right in the shack. Quantum physics, when I was in the New Age, there was a book called The Tao of Physics, Parallels Between Eastern Mysticism and Modern Physics. Basically, it's suggesting that God is an energy force that permeates every atom. Guess what? If that's true, which it's not, then God is in everyone and everything. God is in everyone and everything. That will change the way that everyone looks at our faith, if that's true. Remember Charles Capps, any of you? He was like a hyper-charismatic pastor out of Arkansas, word of faith guy. His daughter, Annette Capps, has a little booklet called Quantum Faith. It's been published and sent out to over 100,000 people. And she basically says that my father said that there'll come a day when we don't need to have faith because science will prove our faith. Could we all just... I'm not sure where my Bible is. You know what? I pretty much know it. If you want to just turn to 1 Timothy 6, 2021. I'm going to just sort of paraphrase it. You can read it in your Bible. Paul is basically warning about science, falsely so called. And he says that in doing so, some have erred concerning their faith. Wow. Oh, there we go. So, yeah, there it is. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called. That's the King James Version. I think it comes up knowledge, I think, in the other versions. But we are going to be told, this is already happening, there are people in the new science that have permeated the new age. You've got Leonard Sweet coming in. There was something about Leonard Sweet that when I saw his book and I saw who he was endorsing that I knew, and I saw that he was speaking to Christian leadership all over the country, I said, this guy's really important. They really want him bad. What is it? That's it. He's the one that has the book that's been out there since 1991. He had it online till fairly recently. It was pulled down just shortly before my book came out, A Wonderful Deception, which goes into great detail about a lot of this. But if we are to believe that everything is a field and everything is God and God is a force, then remember Field of Dreams, the movie Field of Dreams with Kenneth Costner? If you build it, he will come. And then all these guys come out of the netherworld, all these old baseball players, and it's the Field of Dreams. What did Rick Warren call his peace plan? God's dream for you and the world. Field of Dreams, quantum physics is lurking. Whether he knows it consciously or not, he's playing the Robert Schuller script to a T. Robert Schuller said 30 years ago, God's dream is to redeem society. Oprah talks about God's dream. Many in the all the New Age or the emerging leaders are talking about God's dream. I've got a printout in A Wonderful Deception of all the people on both sides that are talking about God's dream. Shifting from the ego to the God within, awakening to this new paradigm, to this new worldview. It's slick. Daniel said about Antichrist, and by peace he shall destroy many. Bob Dylan said, sometimes Satan comes as a man of peace. Don't be fooled by what's going on out there. We have a very high level of good old boy Christian leadership that is not talking about what's really going on. And I think, frankly, that the Lord is putting all of us into a situation where we have to depend upon the Lord, not upon our leaders. That is not to take anything away from Charlie or the pastors who are Charlie is just bringing the Bible into your presence, and he's going verse by verse. But if he started going off on a kick or something, you've got to measure. The Apostle Paul in the book of Acts, I think it was 17:11, he said to the Bereans, he was pointed them out for measuring what Charlie or me or anyone, Greg, anyone, any of us say has to be proven by the Word of God. You know, prove what's good, you know, what's acceptable. And I think that's what the Lord's doing. It's like if we follow a lot of those guys that are Christian leaders, we're going right down the broad way. And by the way, there's one of your really powerful scriptures. What is oneness? Is that a broad way? Or is that a narrow way? Oneness. Everyone's Christ. It's a broad way. Jesus warned that the broad way would lead to destruction. The narrow way leads to eternal life. What did Eugene Peterson say in the message about broad way, narrow way? Nada. Zero. Nothing. He said there are no shortcuts to God. Thank you very much. You just let the air out of some more tires. Greg and I were talking last night. It's like we've seen this, and I think I said something like, you know, we're shocked, but we're not surprised. Or we're surprised, but we're not shocked. I mean, we knew it was coming, but here it is. Charlie's seen it coming. You were there for the whole Jesus movement. You know, what's happened, I think, is that a lot of people that came into the faith did not surrender their New Age gifts. One of the things that Johanna Michelson said in her book, if you read The Light That Was Dark, you'll see this one little vignette where when my wife was my girlfriend, she was cleaning houses. She didn't have much money. And I had an Indian pot that was full of quarters. And I said, Joy, I said, if you could come within 25 cents, you can have the whole pot. She said, $56.25. No, $56.50. She was right the first time. She had a spirit of being able to see those things. It was clearly not from the Lord when we look back on it, but it sure looked good. And boy, I mean, she knew a lot of stuff that she was psychic. When we came to the Lord, we read Johanna's book over and over again, and she said, surrender any gifts that you have. Tell the Lord, we only want what's yours. She lost that gift. She's a very discerning believer now, but she no longer can, you know, nail $56.25. We don't try to, but a lot of people think, oh, well, the Lord takes that psychic thing and then he transforms it into a gift of discernment. I think what's happened is you've got a lot of people that came out of even the Jesus movement, the New Age. They came into the church. They didn't surrender their gifts. So you have people that are listening to things that aren't from them. You've got meditation and a whole lot of other stuff. So I've kind of lost track of time, but I think we've got a little bit more time here. Let me just do a few more scriptures in terms of, and I'm going to give this to Charlie. Maybe we can, for this afternoon, maybe we can have these as a handout. You know, Deuteronomy 5:6, thou shalt have no other gods before me, especially the God that you think is inside yourself. Psalm 39:4, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Well, I thought we were supposed to be God. No, you're supposed to know how frail you are. It says in Ecclesiastes, with increased wisdom comes increased pain. Not this awakening that Leonard Sweet and Rick Warren and the rest of these guys. Oh, by the way, Rick Warren has a series at his church now about faith and science. And when he was at the debate with John McCain and Barack Obama, when he had it at Saddleback Church, he asked a very interesting question to both of them. I'm paraphrasing it a little bit, but it's pretty close. He said to each of them, what did you believe 10 years ago that you no longer believe today? I don't mean that you flip-flopped, but with increased knowledge, you came to a different point of view. And I was with my 93-year-old neighbor, and I said, Amos, I said, you know what he's doing right there? He's setting himself up for changing what he believes in the future based on some kind of knowledge. And I didn't go into it, but I know, I really believe in my heart, with everything that I've seen, that it's the new science, the new math. We're going to go from Einstein to the present. They've got a guy that's circulating in the New Age now that is sort of the equivalent to what Leonard Sweet's doing. We're going to be razzle-dazzled. It's like a Hail Mary when everything's up against the wall, the world's going down the tubes, the stock market's crashing, horrible things are happening, and we're going to be told, you know what, the world can be saved if we realize that we're all one because God is in everyone and everything. Do you think people at that point are going to want to hear talks from Greg Reed, Warren Smith, Charlie Flores, or anybody else? They're going to just, if you don't have that Bible deep in your heart, you're not going to be able to stand. If you faint in the day of adversity, your faith is small, is what it says in Proverbs. We're there. The persecution is there, but if you're not in the fight, if you're not fighting the good fight, and you're not contending, you won't know that because the devil's not going to mess with you. As long as you're reading the shack and handing it out to your friends, no sweat, no problem. Everything's fine. So Ezekiel 28:2, Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus, thus saith the Lord God, because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a God, I sit in the seat of God, in the midst of the seas, yet thou art a man and not God, though thou set thine heart as the heart of God. For many will come in my name, saying, I am Christ. Do you know what it was like for me to read that scripture? Many will come in my name, saying, I am Christ. I hung my head and I went, he's warning me about me. You know what that's like? I mean, that was wild. But I'm so grateful that he did that. There's so much more to say, but I mean, we're to study the scriptures. We're to rightly divide the word of God. That it's the inspired word of God. That it's a sword. And we can count on what God says. And if you start to disbelieve some of it, then what's to say that it all can't just fall apart? Rick Warren used 15 different Bible versions in his book, The Purpose-Driven Life. Towards the end of the book, he said that Jesus said essentially that prophecy is none of our business. Can you imagine that? It's prophecy as articulated from the Bible and handed to us by Johanna Michelson that saved our souls. Brian McLaren said that prophecy is none of our business. Same thing that Rick Warren said. I mean, I'm surprised that we don't catch them all walking around tied at the hip down at Applebee's or something. You know, it's just, they're all saying the same thing, but if you say, oh, that's the same thing that he's saying, I don't know. It's just like, you know, Peter, I don't know the guy. I don't know. They're very clever, and you know, it's important to remember because I've heard people say, I saw Rick on Larry King, and he quoted John 14:6 and said that Jesus was the only way. I said, yeah. He also said that God is in everything. Prophecy is none of our business. He quoted a New Ager, and Paul warned about those who are double-tongued. James warned about those who are double-minded. David warned in the Psalms about those with a double heart. They honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Don't be fooled by what they say. Jesus said, many will say, Lord, Lord. They can say, Lord, Lord. And I'm not saying that they're not believers, but I'm saying they're walking on really treacherous ground, not only by what they're believing, but by what they're not teaching. So I think that's probably I guess there's one more thing that I'd like to, if I can find it here. This is so important. Spiritual experience is taking precedent over the Word of God. Listen to what A Course in Miracles says. The Jesus of A Course in Miracles says, a universal theology is impossible, but a universal experience is not only possible, but necessary. He also says, words will mean little now. We use them but as guides on which we do not now depend. For now we seek direct experience of truth alone. Benjamin Krem, speaking from Maitreya, says, on the day of declaration, when the Christ, the false Christ Maitreya, if he was to appear on his day of declaration, he says, I submit that everyone, even the fundamentalists, will know through the overshadowing of the minds of all humanity, a Pentecostal experience for all, that Maitreya is Christ. And I would also suggest that what called itself Holy Laughter was a dress rehearsal for the false Christ. It was an experience that was so powerful that people didn't even test it or doubt it. People would say, well, you don't think God can have a good time? Well, I think the Lord definitely has a sense of humor. But holy laughter is part of the delusion. And if you don't know that, you need to pray about it. I wrote an article called Holy Laughter or Strong Delusion. A I think you can find it online. And we used to have, like Rajneesh used to put his finger up on our supposed third eye and people would break into laughter. Nobody's testing the spirits. 1 John 4:1 just got tossed. Maitreya says, I do not want you to believe in me or not to believe in me. I want you to experience me. The false Christ wants to be experienced. He wants to make you feel good. Or as Greg was saying, people want their candy. They want to. This is a tough time we're living in and people want to feel better. But you know what? I feel better knowing what's true. And we're told in 2 Thessalonians that the ones that got deceived were the ones that did not have a love of the truth. A great bumper sticker would be, love the truth. Follow truth. Want truth in your heart. And when you pray about these things, and you can pray about the things that I've said today, pray to the Lord and say, I don't want to be deceived by the world. I don't want to be deceived by Warren Smith or Greg Reed. But I want to know what's true and help me to understand that. And then read your Bible. Watch what's coming in. Peer pressure is what the devil's counting on. He wants people to be passing these books around. I think it's up to 8 million on the shack now. People that we know that, you know, have loved the Lord through the years are recommending this book or recommended it for a long time. And then when they maybe have a few doubts, they're not standing up and saying, hey, you know what, I made a big mistake. This is a terrible book. It just kind of fades out stage left. So what can I say that would be uplifting at this point so people don't low crawl out to lunch? When I was in the New Age, I used to say, every day and every way, things are getting better and better. And now that I'm a believer, I go, every day and every way, things are getting worse and worse. But you know what? That's scripture. Things will wax worse and worse. We're heading towards Armageddon, and they want to recreate a future. And here it is. Thank you, Lord. I forgot to say this when I was talking about creating the future. The alternative to Armageddon, as taught by the New Age leaders, is coming into the church in the name of people being futurists. Erwin McManus calls himself a futurist. Leonard Sweet calls himself a futurist. And if we all get together and we recreate the future, then what? We can avoid Armageddon, because they're saying that Armageddon is only a possible future. What did Jesus say in Revelation? He used the word prophecy. And he said, anybody that changes this, beware. What Jesus told us is that there's going to come a point in time, and I believe that we're there, where man is going to try to save himself and the world. And it's going to look good. It's going to be wonderful, but it's going to look wonderful, but it's going to be horrible. And it's not going to be him. And the only way that it's going to be ended is by calling this whole thing on the account of darkness. The game's going to be called on account of darkness. Armageddon's going to happen. Why? Because these people disregarded Scripture. And when it got into the church, and when Christian leaders let go and stopped articulating the very simple truths that are there about evil and about the devil's plan, then everything just went crazy. So I think if I can leave you with anything, it's like I just testify to the fact that the Lord saved me through His inerrant Word. And because somebody, Johanna Michelson, cared enough to write a book about it. It's not easy writing about this stuff, I can tell you that. And I know what she went through to write that book. Because she did, we got saved. And you can help a lot of the people that are going to be deceived in your midst by just simply asking good questions. Jesus asked good questions. You don't have to hit them over the head and say, the shack's a terrible book, throw it in the garbage. You say, let me ask you a question. Do you think that God is in everything? Well, no. Well, then what do you think about the Jesus in the shack that says that God dwells in and around and through all things? What about the fact that creation is spelled with a capital C 20 times in that book? What about the fact that he talks about subatomic particles, fractals, and he's bringing in quantum physics? What? I didn't see any of that. There's your opportunity to witness to people. I think the opportunity to witness these days is to go right where they're at, ask good questions, and give them the real gospel. I also thank Johanna Michelson for making it possible that I met Greg Reed, and it's really been a pleasure to finally meet him. Greg and I have talked on the phone for like 5 or 6 years, and we finally met each other. So I hope I haven't gone over too much, but I guess Charlie will tell you what the new time is. Greg's going to come and do a little bit of wrap-up, and I think we're going to take some questions this afternoon if you have questions.